Romans chapter 6. Good to see all these people in here today. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Now, I don't know about other people, but Romans has always been one of my favorite books. And I've read it and read it and read it. And every time I read it, this jumps out at me. So today, I want to talk to you about something that you've probably not heard in a long time. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about those horsemen. We're going to talk about those horsemen there in Revelation. I'm going to tell you the future. But today I'm going to tell you the present. In Romans chapter 6, look at verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, that's good, ain't it? Skip down to verse 20. In verse 20 he says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. That means you didn't have any righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now there it is. But hey, look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said you were servants of sin. You couldn't help yourself. But you got born again and he made you servants of righteousness. So what does it profit us to sin? There is no profit in sin. There's profit in righteousness. We will profit from righteousness. We will receive rewards and blessings. He said so. And I titled this, if you want to write it down for the internet, the wages of sin is still death. It hadn't changed. Can I get the men to come up and pray for me? I've started this tradition. I don't know if I'll ever quit it. Come on, men. Come up and pray for me today. I need the prayer. You need the practice. Come on. Come on up. All you men that will, come on up. And our churches are dying for men to lead. And you say, well, preacher, embarrasses me to come up there in front of people. Ought not. You're supposed to be a leader. Amen. Amen. And so today, let's call on him and expect him to answer because he promised he would. Did he not? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Romans chapter 6. Men, listen, men change the meaning of sin. Men change the consequences of sin, but God never changes. Mankind has changed the meaning of sin. And they've changed it to this. I've even heard a preacher say this, ignorant preacher, didn't know anything about the Bible. He said, what might be sin to you might not be sin to me. No, sir, preacher. No, sir. If the Bible says it is sin, it is sin. Whether it's you or me or your mama or your grandma, it is sin, and the wages of sin is still death. And I don't care what anybody says, you can rearrange that, and they say, preacher can't say that anymore. You will offend people. You're right, it does. It offended me. You know why? I was guilty. Amen. You throw a rock and a pack of dogs and the one that it hits is going to holler. Amen. And there's a lot of hollering going on when you get to talking about sin. And don't name them, whatever you do. Don't start naming sin. Boy, that's against the law now. You're being bigoted. You're being narrow-minded. You're being, I don't even know what all the words are now. But I know this, God has not changed when it comes to sin. The wages of sin is still death. Now, but preacher, I thought God loved me. He does. That's why he tells you that. He does. That's why he made you a way of escape. He does. That's why he wants to give you his righteousness, because you have none of your own. And if you go by your righteousness, it's going to be sin and you're going to die and go to hell. And he loves you enough that he'll tell you that. You look at a parent, the ones that really don't love their kids never correct them. They never correct them. They never discipline their children. I've had people tell me, well, I don't do that because I want my kids to be my friend, and I want them to know they've always got a friend. They don't need a friend. They've got a bunch of friends. What they need is a mom and a daddy. Well, I'm afraid they'll get mad at me and run off. If they do, you'll be right and they'll be wrong. Amen? And by the way, you never read Prodigal Son? They'll come back. They'll come back. When they get out there and see what the world's really like, they'll be back. The only bad thing is they're going to bring people with them. Amen. Hungry people. Amen. Hungry people, they'll bring them with them. But preacher, if you preach like that, people will leave the church. Well, if they don't want the truth, let them go somewhere that doesn't teach the truth. The truth is more important than people's feelings or people's opinion. Or this politically correct church crowd. Amen? The truth is always the truth. It never changes. God isn't concerned about your feelings. He's concerned about your fate. He doesn't want you to die and go to a devil's hell. He doesn't want you to shorten your life. These young people, some of you sitting in here today, mom and dad says, don't you do that. And you look at them and you say, well, you did it. And you'll look back at a mom and say, that's how come I can tell you? It hurt me and I don't want it to hurt you, you big dummy. Amen. Well, they act like, Brother Billy, we're trying to hide some kind of secret pleasure from them. And we did it and it was so good and we don't want them to know how good it was. That's because they're too young to understand how much we really love them. That even though maybe that was our area of failure, we don't want it to be their area of failure. Amen. You ought to learn by our stupid mistakes instead of making them yourself. Amen. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Well, preacher, just what is sin anyway? You call sin, I just don't see nothing wrong with it. Doesn't matter whether I see anything wrong with it or not. 1 John chapter 4, if I remember correctly. Yep, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he says this: the transgression of the law is sin. And what that means is you have transgressed God's law, or you've gone against God's law. You did something or you didn't do something that God said was right, or maybe he said it was wrong, and you did it, or either you didn't do it. Him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. There's a lot of people never smoked a cigarette, never drank a beer, a bottle of liquor, but there's a lot of things they didn't do they should have done also. Because what you know to do good and you don't do it, he says that's sin also. A lot of self-righteous Christians never tried drugs, but they've never witnessed to one person in their whole life. That's sin. Come on, don't quit on me now. Amen. A lot of lazy Christians. They know what they'll do and they don't do it because they're too lazy to do it, and that's just as much sin as drinking liquor. Come on. Now, you liked it when I was talking about the other stuff. Help me here. The transgression of the law is sin. Now, if you don't believe sin kills, I want to ask you to do something for me. Most of you never think about this. Why don't you go down to the halls of coveting and greed and hate? Look over there at Bosnia and look at Russia and look at China and look at Germany and look at South Africa. And I'm not talking about the Middle East. That's the halls of religion. That kills too. But I'm talking about people that wanted things that were not theirs. And they wanted to possess places and things that were not theirs. And they killed and they stole and they destroyed in order to get what they want. Whole nations have been destroyed because of the sin of greed and the sin of jealousy and the sins of coveting what other people have. Bodies, literally. Some of you need to come out of your shell. you need to come in the real world and look what's going on. Bodies stacked, body on top of body, like with Hitler. And it's going on all over the world simply because somebody wanted their property or wanted their country or wanted their position or their power, and they kill and they destroy families and homes and people just to get what they want. In America, you can see it. People get eat up with greed, and because of greed, look at the ladies, the bodies, I mean, of the drug dealing crowd. Think about it. You never hear about it on television, but Chicago, there are more murders. Just the other day, there was 35 people killed in the city of Chicago. This year, 2,500 this year. You never hear about that. You know why? It's not politically correct to talk about it, because they're shooting and killing over drugs and money and position and power, and those government leaders turn a blind eye because they don't care if you die as long as they have their money and their position and their power. Black Lives Matter. It must not in Chicago. They're all black. Every one of them that died was black. Every one of them. Wasn't a white policeman in it. Not one. Black Lives Matter. It doesn't matter enough because, see, I don't know. Y'all never been to Chicago. I'm telling you, it's not a pretty place to go. I don't care what you read about. I've been on the south side of Chicago, and it's like a war zone, man. You go up, you been up there? You go up those streets, you'll see cars sitting on the side of the sidewalk, strip, windows busted out and burn up. They're everywhere. Houses, the windows is busted out and burned up, and buildings tore all to pieces. I'm telling you, it looks like you're in the war at Lebanon. You go up through there. Why? Because of greed. Somebody's killing somebody over drugs and drug money, and those political people are getting paid off for it. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I just don't believe that. That's because you never see it. Look at the broken homes that money-loving crowd has. A man will fall in love with money, and he'll ignore his wife, he'll ignore his children, he'll ignore his home. Everything's about making money. Everything's about getting ahead. Everything's about being at the top of the heap, and he loses his family, he loses his children, and they all end up on the rocks, every one of them. Women the same way. Women fall in love with money, they'll leave everything. They'll leave their children, they'll leave everything to get that mighty dollar or hook up with whoever they got to hook up with to get the money. Greed, it's a terrible thing. And it's sin. It's sin. So there's nothing wrong with having an honest want. We all have honest wants. We have honest desires. But when I want what you got and I have no right to it, that's greed. A lot of people, a lot of covetous, greedy people in this country, and it is killing people every day. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. Are you listening? The love of money is the root of all evil. If you kids got phones or iPads or something, put them up. Listen to me. This is probably one of the most important things you'll ever listen to. Now, you get looking at those families destroyed and those cities destroyed and people's lives destroyed. And you'll look at it, and here's what you'll say. The wages of sin is death, preacher. That's what killed them. I preached a lot of funerals that I could have just simply got up and said, the wages of sin is death right here. Sin killed them. Whether it was a drug thing or alcohol thing or whether it was a whatever, greed or covetousness, sin killed that person. And I had to preach the funeral and try to comfort people that were left behind without mentioning what really killed them. If we preached half the funerals the way they ought to be preached, nobody would ever ask us to preach a funeral. Maybe that's why I've gotten low on that list. Funeral home used to call me. The funeral homes used to call me. They don't call me anymore. Number two, you go down to the hospital and you look. Cancer patients gasping for breath. Their tongues missing. Jaws eating out. Lungs eating out because of the lust for nicotine. Nicotine just bad a drug, it's liquor, and I don't care what you say it is. And we've all, most everybody in my generation, we grew up inhaling it, buddy. Amen. My mama never did smoke, but she sure would dip. Nicotine. It was everywhere. Hey, it was It was common. You go into a house, y'all old people, you're going to say amen right here. We go into a house and there'd be a layer of smoke about that thick floating through the house. Everywhere we went. Am I telling the truth? You remember that? A cloud of smoke about that high just hanging in every house. And if you didn't smoke, you was getting some good secondhand. Amen. Y'all remember that? You remember when you go in people's house on the old mill hill or out there in the country and you could take your finger and wipe it on the wall and leave a streak from that yellow nicotine all over the wall and you'd see it on your finger. I remember when men at the mill and the bleachery used to see them and their fingers was covered with yellow. Y'all remember that? Fingers just covered. Men and women had their fingers covered with yellow nicotine because they kept a cigarette in their mouth all the time. I used to work in a warehouse, and there was a man come to a truck driver came there every day, and he had a hole right here, and he had one of those little pipes right there because his voice box or his throat or something been eaten out by cancer, and he'd have to put his finger over that hole so he could talk to me. And then he'd go over and sit in the smoking booth and take a cigarette and stick it in that hole and inhale it. Nicotine. You say, preacher, it's just a cigarette. No, it's the nicotine is, it's a drug. And people, you say, preacher, it ain't no sin. It is a sin. Anything that will destroy your body that way is a sin, and you need deliverance. Amen. Preacher, you beating up on me. Well, if shoe fits, wear it. I tell you what. You go down to the hospital, and you try to minister to those people after they've smoked themselves to death. You can't do it. You can't do it. Some of you got COPD because of it. Some of you got it. And now you run around here, you can't hardly breathe. And if you're honest, you'll admit because you knew you was doing something when you ought not do it. You knew you ought not do it while you was doing it. You remember that? We all did. I thought about this. I thought... you ought to go down there at the hospital and you ought to look at those people dying with AIDS or some other sexually transmitted disease because of the lust for strange flesh. And you'll say the wages of sin is still there. Let me tell you the worst name change in the history of America. Homosexual to gay. There's nothing gay about that crowd. They live in guilt, and I don't care what they show you on TV, and I don't care how Lady Gaga sings, and that woman's so pitiful. They ought to get her off. I don't care what she sings. I don't care what the other crowd sings. I don't care what they say. Homosexual people are not gay. They're full of guilt.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
Y'all getting awful quiet on me. I'm not saying that they're any worse sinner. I'm just saying there's a man came to my church one day. He'd been visiting my church. Wonderful man. There's some wonderful people. And I'm going to get on the other crowd in a minute, so hang on. Wonderful man. And he'd been visiting my church. My mother-in-law had brought him. Nice, super nice guy. He came to my office one day in the middle of the week, and he was just devastated. He was weeping uncontrollably. I said, I assumed he was saved. He said he was saved. I said, what's wrong? And he couldn't hardly talk. Finally, he calmed down. He said, I went to the doctor yesterday. He told me I've got about 6 months to live. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I've got AIDS and I'm dying. I never would have thought. I said, and I told him that. I said, I never would have thought. He said, preacher, I've been living with this guilt for 40 years. I've been living with this. And I'm ashamed of myself. He said, I used to go to these rest stops on the interstate highway and meet other men. He said, I didn't know what I was getting into. He said, I've just fallen my old flesh, just the lust of my flesh. 3 months later, I preached his funeral. He died a terrible, horrible death. It's sin. It's sin. Listen. They got, boy, TV, y'all young people listen to me, TV, music, movies, all that now, there's no such thing as purity. They make fun of you. Now listen, everybody in here is above the fourth grade. You can understand what I'm saying. Well, I don't want my kid to hear this. Somebody needs to tell them. But all these movies, all this music, all this stuff's full of lust. There's no love in it. At least my generation, we sang, "I want to hold your hand." Amen. Or Strawberry Fields, you know. But now, it's so filthy. And these videos, these music videos, if you let your kids watch that stuff, you need some help yourself. They're filthy. Rap music is as low as you can get on the totem pole. It shocks me, people that listen to stuff. I was sitting at a stoplight one day, this car come up behind me, and this filthy rap song was going on. It was full of sex and cussing and going on. And I thought I was going to look over there and see a gangbanger. And I looked over there and saw a look like an intelligent young woman in her 30s in a beautiful car. And this stuff's blasting out. And I think to myself, somebody needs to tell that girl. You show me a TV program now where there's an honest, married, loving Christian couple. Most of that stuff you ought not allow in your house. It's destroying our nation, lust of the flesh. Now, none of us are above it. But you know what? We don't have to expose ourselves to it all the time. Hey, let me tell you something. My kids at my house, my kids will tell you, I might have been too extreme, but they didn't hear that stuff at my house. They didn't see that stuff at my house. I didn't even let them watch Hee Haw because I told them them women over there dressed like hussies. They were dressed like country hussies. You can be a country hussy as well as you can be a Hollywood hussy. Come on. Say amen right there, country singer. Amen. I wasn't talking about Willie Nelson. Well, I'll get to him in a minute. Sexually transmitted disease are rampant today and you never hear anything about it. In schools, they teach them how to be careful. That shouldn't even be on the school schedule. You know, they criticize us because we teach abstinence. Y'all young people know what abstinence means? That means controlling your sexual desire until you're married. I know you got it. We all got it. But abstinence means we teach you, hey, wait till you're married. One man, one woman. Amen. People said, y'all Baptist preachers, you're going to let everybody die with AIDS. No, our way works. It worked for 2,000 years. Abstinence, you can't get AIDS by not involving yourself in a sexual relationship. Amen. 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 I better go on. You go down there and you look at those people dying of sexually transmitted or how they've ruined their life or their future children. Look for those that's begging for more drugs or crying out down there for more alcohol on the drying out ward. You know, the world's got one answer for everything. We're going to put you in the hospital. Well, it's not a hospital problem. It's a spiritual problem. These people are trying to fulfill their desires with sin instead of Christ. They're trying to find something to fix them. And they're looking to sin. Alcohol, I'm going to go ahead. Alcohol is a sin. It's a drug just as much as heroin is a sin and drug. Same thing. I've been around many drunks sitting around. Well, preacher, I drink beer, but I don't use heroin. I don't smoke dope. Same thing. I tell them, I say, same thing. The Bible says the drunkard will go to hell. And you're a drunkard. Whether you're drinking beer, liquor, wine, smoking pot, shooting dope, smoking cocaine, it's all drunkenness and it's all sin. Every bit of it. Well, preacher, are you just too old-fashioned. No, sin. Sin don't change. Sin don't change. If you think sin don't kill, Brother Rick, go over here to the rehab at the hospital. Look at these people dying slowly but surely. They're dying. And by the way, most most suicides include alcohol or drugs. Well, I can take me a little drink. Boy, it don't bother me. Yeah, and I can pick up a rattle today. He may not bite me, but next time he may. And by the way, you don't know when he's going to bite. It's still sin. I don't care if the Baptist preacher's doing it. I don't care if the Baptist deacon's doing it. I don't care if the board of directors is doing it. Sin is still sin. I better move on. Y'all getting awful quiet on that one. The wages of sin is still death. If you want to die early, just keep on drinking. You'll die early. You want to die early, just keep on doping. You'll die early. You won't live long as the rest of us. Amen? Amen. They used to make fun of us because we wouldn't. Now, where are they? Go to the graveside of a wayward son or daughter, some young man or woman that's out of the will of God that died prematurely, and you look down there at the graveyard and you'll say the wages of sin is still death. We had some kids rode our bus years and years and years ago from down here at the reservation, sweet little kids, and I'd go pick them up down there at their grandpa's house. And one day I got a call and said that their mama had been killed in a car wreck right at Arrowwood Boulevard up there on I-77. And she was drinking. The people that were with her was drinking. And she had run off and left her husband that week and took off with this other guy, young people in their 30s, 20s, 30s, and took off and had a big time down at Myrtle Beach and all of them been partying, you know, and had a car wreck, and she got killed, and I had to preach her funeral. And when he found out about it, he went on a rampage and went all the way down to Myrtle Beach robbing convenience stores all the way down there and back. They finally caught him, put him in jail. I preached that funeral up at the front door, pulled a state van from the state penitentiary, and they had cops in there with shotguns. And this guy come walking in there in shackles like this, and they brought him up front, and they set him down in the front there. And I thought, man, this is scary. And somebody said, well, word's been put out that his kinfolks or somebody's going to kill her kinfolks or something, and it's going to be a battle. So had shotguns at the front door of the chapel. A few minutes later, a van just like it pulled up on the side door, and this woman got out, and she had on shackles, and they set her up on the front. It was her sister or something, and from the penitentiary. And I preached that funeral, and I said, you know what killed this girl? I said, sin killed this girl. I said, the wage of sin is death. I said, you know what put you in jail? I said, sin put you in jail. I said, these policemen didn't put you in jail. This ain't your mom and dad's fault. Hey, this is our own fault. The wages of sin is still death. God has not changed. And you can dress it up and cover it up and make it up and use new words for it and make different songs about it. But the wages of sin is still death. And every child out of the will of God, you're in the risk of dying and going straight to a devil's hell out of the will of God and the will of your parents. Boy, when they look at you and say, well, I'm 16. I can make up my own mind. No, you can't. You're not old enough. You better thank God you got parents that care. A lot of parents wouldn't let you go on and get hooked on dope. They'd let you go on and become an alcoholic. They'd let you go on and had a baby out of wedlock. Come on. Thank God you got some parents that'll fuss with you and argue with you about things like that. You ought to thank God. You ought to get on your knees at night and say, I want to thank you, God. I've got a mom, I've got a daddy that doesn't want me to die and go to a devil's hell, and they'll fight and they'll fuss and they'll do whatever they've got to do to keep me out of hell, because the wages of sin is still death and they don't want me to go to hell. Thank God I got a mom and dad that loves me that much. Boy, I told the devil. I told him when my kids were little, I said, devil, you can't have my youngins. I said, I'll fight. I'll fuss. I'll do whatever I got to do. They can hate my guts. I'm not going to let them die and go to a devil's hell. You're not having my children. And thank God every one of them's right in the middle of God's will right now. And God's taking care of them. They've been tempted. They've fallen and gotten back up, but they ain't never stayed out. Amen? Because they know mama loves them and daddy loves them, and we're not trying to hide some secret thing from them. We're trying to tell them the truth, that the wages of sin is still death. And thank God they rode a bus just about every Sunday of their life, and they saw homes and children that were devastated by sin and parents that were hooked on drugs and alcohol and wasn't taking care of their own children. And they saw that. Thank God they saw that. Somebody told me one day, said, "Preacher, you shelter your children too much." I said, "My children are not sheltered." I said, "They see what's going on in this world. They know it." I said, "The only thing is, they've got a daddy that won't let them participate."
Amen.
And I said, "Besides, you got to let them go out into the world and try it out." I said, "So you mean they got to try a little heroin not to like it? They got to try a little liquor not to like it? They got to try a little this, a little that, not like it?" No, sir. No, sir. They don't have to do that. He says, when you were without Christ, you were without righteousness.
Amen.
He said, but now you've received Christ, now you have righteousness. You don't have to sin anymore. And we make those choices, Christian.
Yes, sir.
I've made them, you've made them, and they always end up wrong every time. The wages of sin is still death. Then last, if you want to see how sin kills, look at Calvary. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to see what sin does? Look at him on that cross. By the way, that little picture you got in the house does not do it justice. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They beat him till the insides of him were falling out. The Bible says a natural man wouldn't even live that long. And they beat him without any mercy until he would... He's covered. The Bible says you wouldn't even recognize him as a man anymore. And that pretty picture, you've got that blonde-haired, blue-eyed man hanging on a cross without a spot on him. He was just raw meat hanging on that cross, naked. They took his clothes and they shamed him to hang him there naked before the whole world. You say, well, sin ain't that bad. You ain't never looked at what he did for it. He took our sins on his own body, on the tree. He was tried falsely, beaten without mercy, spit upon, laughed at, mocked, and he hung there between heaven and earth. Our sin bearers, he bore the sins of the whole world. He took them on his own body so that you wouldn't have to.
Amen.
You say, well, sin ain't that bad. I tried it. The only reason you... Hey, it's the grace of God. You don't know how bad it is because he took it.
Amen.
When sin's finished, the Bible said it always bringeth forth death. When sin is finished, it destroyed his body. And he gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Let me tell you something. Sin killed the blessed Son of God.
Amen.
And every time we as Christians sin, we'll remember that. This is what killed him. This is what beat him. This is what spit on him. This is what mocked him. This is what made fun of him. And I'm doing this. God, help me. God, forgive me. Help me to be the righteousness that I really am. When I sin, I always turn around and look back at Lord. I said, Lord, that ain't me. That ain't me. That's not me. I'm sorry. That's not me. That's the old me. That's the one that died. That's not the one I want to be anymore. I want to be the new me. I want to walk in righteousness and light and holiness. Because the wage of sin is still death. It still destroys everything it touches. It's still ugly and nasty no matter what kind of paint you put on it. Still ugly and nasty and wicked. And when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, I've got the victory. Look at Romans chapter 5, and I'll quit. Look at verse 12. In verse 12 it says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Skip down to verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead," that's Adam, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, I can't help it. I was born a sinner. But I can come to Christ and he can make me a saint. He can wash me white as snow. He can deliver me from that condemnation and that death. I don't have to be a sinner. I get tired. We Baptists, we make up all kind of stuff and try just make it up as they go along, Brother Billy. "Well, you know, I can't help it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We're all sinners." Shut your mouth. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead to prove that the sacrifice had been accepted. And now we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. We don't have to be like that anymore. I don't care what anybody says. Sin's ugly. It's nasty. It's cruel. The world... you don't see this stuff on TV. They make it all look pretty, you know. But it's not pretty. In the end, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill my wife. It's going to kill my children. It's going to destroy my grandchildren. Sin. My baby granddaughter's now a week and something. Saw a picture of her the other day. I'm going to go see her pretty soon, but and Charity sent us little videos, you know, and I think, what a beautiful little innocent. Doesn't have a wrinkle on her. You ever notice that? Babies don't have, when they're first born, they do, but then after they begin to grow, the wrinkles, and they get so beautiful, and they look so pure and so innocent. And then long about 4 or 5 years old, things start to change. And the sinner comes out in them. Amen? Now, we don't see it till that rebellion starts. And as they get older, it comes more out. And we look at them, and look, we overlook it, and we make up for it, and we make up excuses for them. And there's really no excuses. They're just a sinner, and they need salvation. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't get it, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And there's not a person in this room, not one person in this room, that does not have sinners in it. Every one of us got families with sinners in it. But because they're ours, we want to overlook it. Well, you know, my husband ain't that bad. He got baptized when he was 5. He ain't that bad. He don't drink liquor. Well, he's still a sinner. He still needs to be saved or it's going to kill him. Well, you know, my wife ain't that bad. You know, she's a good woman. She's a great cook. Well, I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it says great cooking gets you into heaven. Well, you know, my kids aren't that bad. They ain't on drugs. Well, there's some sin bothering them. I'll guarantee you. They may just hide it real good. But it's still there. They need a Savior. They need a Savior. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt about that. If it's not by acts or deeds, it's by things we should have done, didn't do. Help me. But I thank God, March the 5th, 1978, somebody showed me the Savior. And I thank God that day that I let Him take my sins on Himself. And I gave them up. "Here, Lord, take them. That's all you got to do. Give them to Him. Here, Lord, take them. I can't do nothing with them. I've been struggling all my life. Here, take them, Lord." Amen. And did you know He took my sins? And did you know He threw them in the sea of forgetfulness, remember them no more? And did you know he gave me the victory over every one of them? And now when I sin, it's on purpose. It's not, it wasn't an accident. I was tempted. I thought about it, and I did it. Now, I'm glad there's still, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But you know what? We need to remember sometimes we have his righteousness. We don't have to live like that anymore. And there's so many Christians right now, Brother Ron, who are living defeated lives because either they don't know what they have in Christ or they are neglecting what they have in Christ. There's some could have been here today. They say they're saved. They say they're on the way to heaven. They've probably been baptized. May even have joined this church. But they hardly ever go to church. You know why? They don't see any importance in it. They hardly ever read the Bible because they don't see any importance in it. Because they don't realize what they got that day that they received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. And you know that same crowd? They're the same ones going to call me and you when they really get defeated by that sin that's riding them right now. And we'll go remind them, listen, you must have forgot what you had. Or you wouldn't be in the mess you're in right now. And then we'll pray for them and they'll get back out and they'll get back on their feet. And Lord willing, they'll stay there, but some won't. They'll keep going back and going back and going back because they really do not believe that the wages of sin is death. Brother Ron, they believe you might get lung cancer, but that's not going to happen to them. They believe you might become an alcoholic, but that's not going to happen to them. You might be a drug addict, but that's not going to happen to them. Their kid may be, your kid may be in jail, but that'll never happen to their kid. Because they really don't believe the wages of sin is death. But thank God one day he opened our eyes. And he gave us enough sense to see it. And now we've been delivered. And we're not perfect, but we have the righteousness of Christ. And when we walk in that righteousness, he protects us from the wages of sin. I hope I don't leave here till the trumpet sounds. I don't want to die. My mom was 97. She asked me the other day, she said, how old am I now? I said, 97. I said, I'm going to see Suzanne for her birthday tomorrow. And you know how old she is? She said, no, how old is she? I said, 41. She said, she's about to catch up with me. I said, no, ma'am. She's got a long way before she gets. How old was I again? I said, 97. But eventually, unless Jesus comes, death will catch her. But the good news is he'll hold her hand. As over death's river she goes. And he'll do the same for me and you. Now, let me ask you, and I'll quit. Some of them just can't hardly wait. Is the burden of sin on you today? Do you feel like, boy, that sin's just killing me? Well, let me tell you something. There is deliverance. You don't have to live that way. Boy, I got out that seat, 6th pew on that side at Eastside Baptist Church, March 5th, 1978. I got out of that pew, Brother Billy, and I started coming down that aisle. And as I didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know any scriptures, but as I come down that aisle weeping and crying, the burden started coming off, just disappearing. I didn't understand it. It was just disappearing. The guilt and the shame and the burden of sin was just flying off of me as I walked down there. And that man took me in that room, showed me some scriptures, and prayed with me. But I look back on it, Brother Billy. Soon as I stepped out by faith, I had it. All he was doing was giving me the assurance of what I just received. Set free. Well, I was just lighter. I was lighter when I walked out that day. I wasn't heavy no more. I was so happy. I could have hugged a tree. I was so happy. I just tiptoed out. Man, I cried. I think I was the last one out in church that day. And I just cried and hugged people and thank God. And I went to work. They said, boy, what's done happened to you? I said, I don't know. I went down there at that church and they sang and they preached. And I went down front and I said a prayer. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. And he did. I don't know how to explain it. But come to church, they'll tell you about it. They talk about it all the time. They looked at me and said, boy, don't start preaching at me. I didn't even know what preaching was. I wasn't preaching. I was just sharing something that happened. But you see, they were so burdened down with that sin. It just had them down, son. It'll hold you down. down like that, and you just feel like all the weight of the world's on top of you, and you're trying to find an escape. So you take your little drink, or take your little pill, or a little shot, a little smoke, and for a little while it'll numb your head, and you'll forget about that old heavy weight. But when the numbness wears off, the weight's still there. Amen. Say amen, Rick. Amen. You carrying any weight today? Boy, don't get hung up in that sin cycle. When it ends, it brings forth death. We'll be preaching your funeral. We'll outlive you. We will. We'll outlive you. And you'll die and go to a devil's hell. And we won't never die. We'll just get translated. We'll leave one body and take on another one. And you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And all the way, you're going like this. And Paul said, laying aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us. Take them off. Throw them down there. Let's stand. Father, help us today.